This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome back to The Stars Made Me Do It. You've got Sierra and Mimi here, and Hello. We are coming at you with an episode all about astrocartography, or the relocation astrology, which is
I'm excited about
a big
this
deal,
mouthful.
People.
Yes. I love this word. I love this astrology.
I love this
it's so
word.
Fascinating.
Astrocartography, something about it just hits me in the Sagittarius soul. I just love it.
Yeah, because cartography is the drawing of maps, and then we've got astro in there, so it's the drawing of an astrological map.
It's so good.
I love the origin of words. Anyway.
Well, we are getting into astrocartography, and you might hear it being called relocation astrology. And before we get into that, don't forget to check us out over on Instagram at The Stars Made Me Podcast. We are also on Patreon with an amazing astrology community over there. It's patreon.com/stars made me do it. We have a Discord for all of the tiers. We've got three really affordable tiers. It's $3, $6, and $9. And you've got lots of
$3, $6, $9 all the time. One more time, get low.
We literally were starting before this episode about the song Get Low.
You can't not. Like, you set could, me up.
I did. So for this type of content and more, check out our Patreon.
Yes, we've got some new projects coming out there, so it's a fun time. And also, just go check out our personal projects. Sierra runs an awesome book club. It's called Magical Book Club. You can find that on Instagram, at magical.bookclub. She hosts a lot of cool events. And then you should check out my personal project. I make crystal candles and do tarot and astrology, harveymountain.alchemy. Just go look at us. We do things cool.
Go look at us. And then we'll slap a location on it and talk about some astrocartography.
Exactly.
You know, that is really cool. Like, thinking about both of us, you know, if you don't know us, if you haven't been here listening for a while, we are both, we're both American, but we're both living very far from our homes where we were born. So Mimi's from California living in upstate New York, and I'm from Maryland living in France. And so we have a really cool experience. We're both just travel-y people too. Yeah. So in this whole episode of astrocartography, we have such great examples of comparing our hometowns to our present locations and, you know, our study abroad locations and lots of our adventures on the way. So we are going to get into what astrocartography even means, but what you can kind of gather from this moment is it is astrology applied to location. And that's just really freaking cool.
Yeah, for like the Sag and ninth house placements in us, it's kind of an exciting thing to look into. Something I want to put everybody on is if you need a resource for pulling up your own astrocartography, astro.com has a really good tool. It's the AstroClick Travel tool on their website, and you can just pull it up totally free, put your chart in. It's a great resource.
Yes, and I have also had this app recommended to me. It is the Linea Geo Horoscope Astrology. And so Linea is Linea, Geo Horoscope Astrology. I have not used it personally. I've just had it very highly recommended to me. And from my research on it, it seems like it's very similar to the astro.com AstroClick travel tool, but just in kind of maybe a friendly app form where you can look up specific items like where is it best to find love or start a business or make friends. So instead of kind of exploring the map yourself, it does a lot of that for you. Exactly. So yeah, those are just two tools that you're welcome to test out. And we are using that AstroClick travel tool from astro.com for, you know, this episode.
Yeah. All right. So let's get straight into what is astrocartography. It's the astrology of location. It's fairly recently founded by astrologer Jim Lewis in the 1970s. And I liked this quote, kind of summed everything up really nicely. Astrocartography takes this concept one step further and maps where the planets were rising and setting all over the world when someone was born. And that was from Mind Body Green. So you can use the AstroClick travel tool, or a cheat that I like is you can literally just pull up your natal chart and change the birthplace, and that is what we are looking at here. So if you get confused by the map that gets pulled up on astro.com, you can literally just enter. So I was born in San Francisco, California, but I live in upstate New York. So if I changed my birth location to, say, Hudson, New York, then that's the astrocartography. That's the chart that we're essentially looking at. But what astrocartography does is it's pulling up and making note of what planets are on the angles in your chart. And if you need a little recap, the angular houses are the first, fourth, seventh, and tenth. And they're known to be like stronger influences in our lives because they deal directly with the sense of self, our home, our relationships, career, these very strong, dynamic areas of life. And so we're looking at any placements that are on any of the angles. And as the time zones change, where you're born or where you live, different points and planets will be rising or setting or at their lowest or at their highest in their cycle. So a little reminder too that the interior angles that deal more with the self and internal stuff is the first and the fourth house, whereas the exterior angles are more about shining externally and connecting to others, and that's going to be the seventh and the tenth house.
And we do have an episode on the houses in general. If you would like more information on what that means, what the houses represent in astrology, go ahead and check that out. I believe that's in our Back to Basics series. We have houses part one and part two, so you'll get more information there.
Yeah. And I mean, just think about, like, say in my natal chart, I have my north node exactly conjunct my nadir or my IC, which is the lowest point of the chart. It's the fourth house angle. But say that I was born at the exact same time, right, at like 3:22 p.m. in San Francisco, it was 6:22 p.m. in New York. So something else was setting or rising or at its highest or at its lowest. And that's what we're really looking at, is what is being highlighted on an angle of your chart. So that's how to do it in your head. If you're like me and you want to know the why behind, you know, the lines on this astrocartography map, if you want to know the reason and you want to be able to do it yourself, that's the logic behind it. But if that confuses you, you don't have to know the logic behind it. You can literally just use either of the tools that Sierra and I have brought and let them show you.
Yeah, I function in a way of I like letting the tools show me. And then when I feel ready to open up and understand that, you know, the whys behind it, and then I relearn what those tools are showing me, it makes it even more powerful. And I think that it, yeah, it's just totally based on the type of brain power and the way in which
your
brain
works
that way.
Yeah, the way you learn.
Yeah, learning styles. And either way, I really do like that idea. Now I'm at the point of having explored things from what the maps show me. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to go back and change the location of my chart and check out all these different times and check out those angles. So there's, yeah, lots of different ways to explore it.
So how would you use astrocartography?
So astrocartography, you can use it to plan your next vacation if you're planning a big move, and to reflect on how like past hometowns played a role in your life. I know that when, you know, you can use it kind of like retroactively or for the future. It's been really fun to explore the retroactive part of it and looking at, you know, life-changing vacations. I looked up when I went to Egypt, which was literally a life-changing moment for me, and checking out that astrocartography. But then looking at present me and, you know, where I am in this, in my current hometown. But then you could also, you know, I was thinking, oh, well, this is where I'm going on vacation this summer. What's that energy going to be like? And looking up those type of things. So you can absolutely look it up. I think for anybody planning to move and you're like between here or there, my parents were between moving to Maryland or Colorado. Those are like very different vibes. And I so wonder what that would have been like, you know, the Colorado lines versus the Maryland lines. But you can really get an understanding of what's going to be highlighted based on that location. So planning a vacation, planning a big move, and, you know, reflecting on really important places in your life that I guess you just kind of pull some extra meaning from when you're like, oh, well, this was a Mercury line. No wonder why it was my university. Things like that.
Yeah. Like, what was the focus when you were living there? And was that focus in alignment with, you know, the line that's in that location for you?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I definitely love to like reflect on past hometown. I mean, because I didn't become an astrologer until after I had already lived in so many places. It's really fun to look back and be like, oh, yeah, that's what I was really focusing on when I lived there. Or, oh, no wonder I was struggling because I wasn't in alignment with what I should have been doing there.
Oh, yes. We're going to get into it with some of these examples coming up when we talk about the different lines in astrocartography. But I was looking at like the two different master's programs that I did, one of them being located in Virginia and one of them being located in Connecticut, and how even though like on a surface level, okay, yes, they're master's programs, it's higher education, that the lines that they were, you know, interacting with were so different and my experiences were so different and in just completely different areas of my life, even though they were both education. And I loved getting to pull some extra meaning of what I took away from that, because my second my second master's I didn't really do anything with career-wise, but it literally transformed me as a person. And, you know, my first one, I absolutely used that as my career, and it was on a Mercury line, and so it makes so much sense. So we'll get into those with the examples, but it's just very, you know, that way of pulling extra meaning, which I think anybody who's into astrology and pulls so much meaning from your personal chart or how your chart interacts with the people around you, this is such a cool tool to use of your chart interacting with literally the world around you.
Yeah, very cool.
Well, let's get into the different lines.
Yeah, we're talking about lines. Basically, the lines that you see when you're looking at your astrocartography is dictating or just letting you know their longitudinal lines, and they're letting you know what planets are on what angles. So we're going to just talk about all the different planets. It's going to be, I mean, we've already done so many kind of discussions about the planets, so you should definitely check out the Back to Basics series about the planets as well. But we're going to discuss kind of how each planet expresses itself as a location.
Yeah. And if you haven't pulled up, you know, an astrocartography map before we started going into this conversation, or you're not able to right now, essentially, just as a visual, you're going to be seeing the map of the world, and it's going to have a bunch of lines crisscrossing over it, and each line is represented by a planet, or, you know, we're also going to go into the nodes and Chiron, and it falls over a part of the world, and it's personalized to your birth chart with the, you know, kind of like the X marks the spot being where you were born. And then that's what is the center of your map, and all of the lines are overlaying. I kind of think of it as if when you're on a plane and you see the map of like the trajectory of where the plane's going, you have that like bright line over a map. It kind of looks like that, but with multiple different colors representing the different planets. So
and there are also some dots there, too. If you see some dots on those lines, that's where it's most concentrated.
Yes, yes, which is very cool. So, like, a lot of them happen in the middle of the ocean, and I'm like, if I were on a on a boat,
on a cruise,
would I have an epiphany here?
Yo-ho, all hands. Anyone else on North Sea TikTok?
Oh, my God.
All right, so let's start off with the sun line. So first off, there are three lines that are like the awesome, very positive, easier lines. It's the sun, the Venus, and the Jupiter lines. These are all where there's a lot of positivity, a lot of ease in your life. And then the more challenging ones are, of course, going to be the traditional malefics, Mars and Saturn. I'd say Chiron's in there too, but Chiron is both good and hard. And then I think the North Node one is great, but that's because I was born on a North Node line. So what are you going to do?
So for the Sun line, this is, like Mimi said, it's all about the location of confidence and expression, as well as an easy connection to your identity. Makes sense. It's the Sun. And when you are in a location that is very aligned literally with your Sun, you're going to shine. And so you have an example of this, a personal example of this.
Yeah, so literally, as I was born, the sun was setting in upstate New York where I live. So I have the sun descendant line, which means, any, like I said, with the seventh house being the descendant, very much an external energy. And the sun is also very externalized energy. So this is super outgoing, extroverted, shining the light, being seen by other people. And I've absolutely found that living in upstate New York, once I found my footing and I found some roots here and like figured out what I was doing, I really did start to feel really seen as who I am, and that I get to shine my unique light and be seen by other people and build cool relationships based off of who I really am.
Oh yeah, because it is, it's your identity. The sun is your identity.
Yeah,
that is, yeah. And then we have the, you know, the flip side of that being the moon line, which is and more of an emotional location, quite sensitive and attuned to the feminine energy. And it's actually really interesting to think about the moon line, because in one of our later examples where we talk about a Pluto line, I also had a moon line happening in that example too. And it was when I was at my second master's program. And so when it is dealing more with that emotional location and being attuned to that feminine energy, just at like the period of my life when I was going to school here, I had so much family stuff going on. And this was literally the first time that I ever went to any form of therapy, was when I was at, and I literally went through my university. And I just love that aligns with moon line. And with Pluto there too, but that I just realized, oh, that was my moon line that was being activated in there too. And I do feel like I had that, as opposed to my other university, I had much more, it was much more internal time as opposed to external time. It was a totally much more internal energy.
Where a sun line is like, you really want to feel seen and you want to express and create, and there's so much radiant energy. The moon is much more private. I feel like this is a place where you would settle down, create a family, and almost hide from the world, in exact opposition to the sun, which is like, let the world see all of me. There's this desire for, or a craving for, security and quiet and just settling into yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, when I think when we, or at least in my experience with university energy, was such a, I'm trying to figure out how to step into myself. And this time I really noticed that it was a observational type of moment. I was in such an international program. It was the first time in my life where I was the minority in my program, and getting to meet these people that were literally from all over the world. And I was one of the only Americans in the program. And I was so just, it was an experience I never had before. And I wasn't trying to have the spotlight on me in any way. I was really trying to take in everything and just realize, you know, it was so much inner reflection. It was so much inner reflection in such a beautiful and learning way, but it wasn't the same type of learning, you know, in an intellectual way. It was really, like you said, receiving, which is such a moon energy.
It's kind of interesting though, like if you, I don't know if it's moon IC or moon ascendant for you for that place, but I wonder, like, having that very internal energy, but having it on the 10th house angle or the 7th house angle, how different that would be, that actually it would be allowing the world to see this moon portion of you.
It was moon ascendant.
Oh, so wow. Interesting. So it was about you.
Yeah.
Understanding yourself.
Yes, absolutely. And my place in, you know, within this international community, it wasn't like my place among a large group of people that I fit the same demographic of. And so it was very much, Yeah, in that way, with that ascendant.
Whereas line. If someone has, you know, a moon line, but it's a moon midheaven line, it's actually using your emotional nature in your workplace and allowing the public to see that. Or maybe a moon descendant line is opening up and releasing like this shell, like letting go of your walls and letting other people into your emotional nature as well.
Yeah. Oh, I love the idea of looking at the angular houses through astrocartography. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
So next line would be Mercury. This is an intellectual location, good for socializing and pursuing a project, and also assessment of your resources, which I really liked that description for the Mercury line. This is your natal chart, so you have Mercury on your ascendant in your natal chart. So any yeah. place that's on that latitudinal line is going yes. to be that Mercury ascendant for you.
Yes, yes, which is so, so fascinating because, you know, I did go to university on the same, I mean, it was just a couple hours south, but it is on that line and it just yeah. fits so well with it. Literally, I feel like I am one of those people who college felt like literally the next step after high school. It was just like we stepped into it and, you know, kind of continued the same path that we'd been going mm-hmm. down, and it had its different challenges and everything. But just the fact that like where I got to really expand my mind, it was a different location. So there were new circumstances just as far as life goes, but it really was aligned with my natal Mercury on the ascendant, the way in which I'm learning and expressing and talking and getting to just mm-hmm. take that right on with me to college.
Yeah. And then on the contrast of that, like I have a Mercury IC, so Mercury on my nadir would be Siena, Italy, which was a very big trip for me when I was 17. And then also, again, I got to take my partner there later on when we were in our early 20s, which was really great. But my first time ever going to Siena, Italy, it was really looking into the history of my family, like my genealogy. My family is Italian. And also I was literally studying Italian while I was there. And not to mention my mom was my Italian teacher who took us on this school trip to Siena, Italy. So very much the IC and the mother figure was a big part of my trip to Siena. And I can never go back without thinking of like my mom being there too.
That's so perfect. That fourth house angle mm-hmm. and then Mercury there. It's like mother and learning.
Yeah, really learning and like learning about my family. It's really yes. cool.
Oh, that is so fun. Oh, I love that. And the after Mercury, we have Venus here. And like Mimi said, that's one of those, you know, really positive lines that we tend to look at. And the Venus line is like location for relationships, money, and indulging, which are all themes that go along with Venus. And I didn't have anything on my Venus line, but I did explore the map. And I just thought yeah. that this was really fun because there is a point where my Venus line and my Neptune line intersect or what am I trying to say?
Intersect. Yeah. That was a great okay. word.
Okay. And,
Mercury ascendant, everybody.
Hey.
I love you.
Oh. It's in the 12th house. Okay. Oh my gosh. But what I found in that little sweet spot with my Venus and Neptune lines was northern Sweden. And I just thought that was fabulous because I'm like, I now need to go to this spot and yes. see the northern lights. I need to see the Aurora Borealis with my Venus and Neptune line together. I think I would have some sort of creative, like emotional epiphany and potentially like astral project out of my body. I just need to go.
That's what I'm saying. Like using this to plan your next vacation, be like, you know I have an itch, but I don't know where I want to go. Check out, yeah, if you're craving like a spiritual opening, yeah, check out a Neptune line. If you're looking for a place to eat and love absolutely everything that you shop and buy, like shop and eat and explore, like a Venus line would be so good for a vacation.
Yeah.
And I mean, Venus line would also be good for where you live because that's like, you know, that's a very likely place. Like if we're looking at really archetypical astrocartography, this is the place where you're like supposed to meet your partner or like meet very important people in your life.
Yeah, and it is so, I was looking at like the Venus lines on my chart and I'm like, they're all like over the ocean. So of course I'm in an international relationship, but there's not a lot of, I didn't find a lot of like places that I don't know, whatever. It wasn't over France where I am or have met my partner.
Northern Sweden.
But Northern Sweden is, I guess, where we're going to go on like our 5-year marriage, like renewal, not renewal.
Cute.
You know, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Anniversary. Mercury conjunction.
I know. Okay. I didn't want to say it again. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
Sorry. I certainly know when I don't know what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're extremely knowledgeable.
Oh, God. I'm hoping but this isn't anyway. Anybody's first episode. Oh, my God.
Okay. I'm hoping it is. But let's explore like what a Venus line would look like, you know, depending on what angle this is on. If it's a Venus first house, maybe this is, or Venus Ooh. Ascendant, maybe this is more about, this is where you learn to really love yourself and indulge in that self-love. Whereas if it's Venus fourth house, maybe this is the time where you finally find a lot of harmony in creating a family. Venus is the feminine creator, right? This is very much a pregnancy placement too. Like this is a place to create life within your own body. Venus midheaven, this would be a good place to be a, you know, run a business or really find a job that you love or a place in society that you really love. And then a Venus descendant, that's classic where you'll find your partner.
Yeah. And I'm thinking of somebody who's like, you know, art is your the passion that you're wanting to use as your means of work and finding that Venus and midheaven point where using your art as like this career point where the world is seeing you, or even choosing a place to have a first art gallery type of situation. How cool would that be?
I love that.
Yeah.
So that very Aries Mercury. I love that. I love that. Moving on.
Well, the next one.
From great to not so great. Yes, the Mars line.
So this is location for passion, action, drive, and confrontation. And it is where I currently live.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Mars is like the lesser two evils. And I love Mars just as a planet, you know, being in Aries, like I'm kind of comfortable with it. It is one that you're likely to feel more aggravated. Like think of feeling too hot and itchy in like a sweater in the summer. That's kind of Mars energy where you're like, oh, I have to get this off of me. I have to do something. There's that like passion, that drive. But it is also kind of an irritating energy.
Yeah, it is a drive, but there's also the confrontational part of if you do have a hot, itchy sweater on in the summertime, like we're not just going to accept that and move on.
No,
like you can't just, this is not a conflict avoidance. This is like a confrontational type of energy. And it's all, but it is also that energy for passion and drive, which I really like, you know, just on like such a personal level, because this is where I'm currently located in France, in like the Paris area. And it is Mars and my nadir. So on that fourth house. And it is so, which is such a cool thing, because it's my whole, I'm on a very big journey of rooting myself where I am presently. And it's not easy. There's a confrontational aspect of it, but I am so motivated in so many ways to do hard things here, where I see in my, you know, like going back to my natal chart, and not even my natal chart, but just where I grew up and staying on that same kind of like longitude where I was, or yeah, I definitely feel like moving to France has been such a challenge, literally such a challenge in so many ways, but in the ways where, you know, it was not hard for me to, okay, you graduated university, you got a job as a teacher, you studied to be a teacher, you got an apartment, you know, you're working, everything's all set up nicely. And then here, just getting myself back to the point where I feel like I had everything just very delicately laid out for me where I grew up. Here, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, okay, I can go to the grocery store and I can ask somebody if I need help. I can get an apartment that isn't the size of a closet. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I've got a washing machine, people. You know, like there's like certain, like dishwasher's next. That's my big thing, is the dishwasher's next. And like so many things that are so different to my life here. There's a drive, because there's Mars is such a instinctual, necessary type of energy, like reacting to something because you need to, as opposed to it just being very simple. And I really do feel that, with almost like it's a constant challenge and battle to get to the point where my life was back in the United States. Yet there is that, you know, that passion, I guess excitement that comes with Mars when you do achieve those things.
Yeah, you're right. And especially it being on the IC is, I think, a more challenging placement, because Mars on the midheaven still feels like, yes, there's challenges in the workplace, but the midheaven is where we're taught to be ambitious anyway and to have that drive. Yes. So they kind of work together if you can find that balance. Whereas the IC or the nadir is definitely a place where you're meant to just rest and relax and like a sanctuary in your own home. But Mars is telling you to always be doing something.
Oh my gosh, yes. That hits.
Which my Mars, I also have a Mars IC, and it was London, which I didn't live in London, but I did visit there when I was living in other parts of the UK. And I did find that when I was in London, I had more aggressive interactions with, you know, the people that I knew through mutual friends, or, you know, there just seemed to be a lot more irritation in London. And I enjoyed it as a tourist, but not so much as living there, which I did kind of try out living there for a minute.
You know, that is so interesting that you said that about like the having more aggressive kind of interactions. I'm thinking about the whole idea of me having that, you know, Mars on the nadir here. It's also allowed me to confront so many fourth house themes being overseas, because so many, you know, home and family things come up when you're not living right near your family. And so many of those things have had to be confronted because of that location that I'm in, which is such an interesting little, you know, extra piece to that.
All right, moving on to another fantastic one. We've got the Jupiter line. This is extremely abundant, very fortunate. This is great for finding an education, obviously, because Jupiter is higher knowledge, higher understanding. But I also think just for finding that you have a lot of good luck in this place.
Love that it's also Paris for me.
I know. So this is a good example of how you can have two lines, because for you, you have Mars on your IC in Paris, which is your nadir, but then at the same time, you also have Jupiter on your descendant. So you can have two angles being highlighted and two planets highlighting those angles.
Which is, you know, such, you know, I'm very grateful for that balance that I have, where it's not just, you know, Mars and then the nadir. We've also got Jupiter on the descendant. And so there is this luck and the amount, like the types of people that I've met here, the friend groups that I've made here, the interactions with, you know, my partner here. And there's so much luck and growth that has come from me living here. And it is so much in the relationship sector too, which I love that it's happening on that descendant.
Not to mention, this is what you offer to your relationships from Paris.
You're so right. Yeah, you're right. Offering that Jupiter energy to the people, you know, because the seventh house is all about all of the relationships in your life. Mm-hmm. And that is what you offer them. That is such a great way of looking at it. Yeah.
And like, this is a good example too for me. I really want to go to Australia. I have a friend who lives in Perth, but instead I'm going to tell her to go meet me in Melbourne, because that's my Jupiter line. And I, you know, that would be awesome to be able to visit that and to experience that Jupiter line.
Is it, do you know what angle it's on?
I will look that up. Ooh, it's my descendant as well.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yes. Yeah, whereas Perth, if I were to visit Perth, it would be Venus midheaven. So actually, Venus Neptune. So actually, maybe I should go visit her in Perth instead. I'm coming for you, Nadine.
Oh, man. I think that would be really cool to, like, compare, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And like, the locations. Okay, we're about to get into it, but the Saturn line, Mitch and I took a trip to Utah, which was the Saturn, which is our Saturn line. And so Saturn lines and astrocartography, this is where the real challenges are. And like, you have to really just mature. You have to grow the fuck up and like figure things out. Things are going to, there are going to be obstacles in this place where you need to overcome them like an adult. And I will say that Mitch and my Utah trip was the vacation from hell. Like, absolutely ever, like, we enjoyed it because it was a comedy of errors and we were like, this is ridiculous, we did not expect this. But the trip that we took, it was, there were so many challenges, so many things that we just needed to make a decision to overcome these things. It was a very hard place just to do as a vacation. So I imagine that living on a Saturn location or on a Saturn line would be quite tough as well. So this was Saturn descendant. So it was literally me and my partner went to vacation here and we struggled. But luckily we were on the same page about like all the struggles are neither of each other's faults. We're just in this together.
We're just in this massive struggle together. And we have to learn through it because Saturn wants to challenge us and we have to pass this test, whatever it is. Yeah, I mean, living near a Saturn line, that's something that is so interesting to look up. I would look that up as far as if I'm going to move somewhere, I would not want to be moving near a Saturn line.
If it's
going to
be a more permanent location, I would I'd probably try and veer away from it. If it's a vacation and, you know, you've got everything really planned out, I mean, we did, but still it didn't turn out the way we wanted. but I would risk it for the vacation if you're like, I've always wanted to go to this place, so I'm going to go here. But if it's more of a permanent living situation, just be more mindful.
It's so funny because my cousin now lives in South Africa and I'm looking on my map and my Saturn line goes right through South Africa. And before she was like, you should come and visit. And I was like, yeah. And now I'm like, maybe she should come and visit Paris. Maybe that would be the better way.
But you're a Saturn girly, so maybe you wouldn't mind it.
I am a Saturn girly. I'd learn some real hard lessons and I'd be better for it. But yeah.
But like, also, I think that Saturn midheaven, like if you're on a Saturn midheaven line, yes, it would be hard work. But that's what the midheaven is for, baby. Like we're meant to do hard work and achieve our ambitions with that midheaven point. So even though you would know what you're getting into, like I could see relocating for a job being on a Saturn midheaven line, like you're doing this out of practicality and out of climbing a success ladder.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I am a Saturn girly. I've got so much Capricorn. I really appreciate Saturn and all of, you know, all that Saturn has to offer, even though sometimes it's really hard. Often it's very hard. But I think that, you know, depending on the work that you're doing, if you are prepared to put in the work, I mean, Saturn, everybody always like sticks to that, you know, really hard part of Saturn, but Saturn also does offer those awards. It's the satisfying rewards. It's not like the, oh, hey, you won this without having to do anything. It's like the, you busted your ass so much and then you actually achieved the thing. And so I feel like for some really big, you know, I don't know, really big projects or really big, you know, work that's trying to do something for a lot of people. Like if you, you know, are really putting in the work and you know that you can do it, I think the reward would be really big because it would be a location that valued what you were putting into it.
Oh my gosh. I'm actually also thinking about like this trip. We literally hiked this massive hike, like thousands of feet up in altitude, and it was such hard work, but getting there and seeing the views that we saw during this trip was always worth that work. And honestly, it was always the between times, the between hikes and between like destinations, that was the real challenge. But once we were in the destination, everything was so glorious and so amazing.
That is a really good point. It's like, it feels like the Saturn location is like, if you're not working hard, I'm going to make it hard. And then, but if you're working hard, yes, now look at this beautiful view.
Yeah. And then next up, we've got Uranus. So the Uranus line, this is a place where you're going to be seeking freedom and there's going to be more rebellion here, and also really tapping into your eccentricities and like what you uniquely contribute. This is also upstate New York for me. So I've got the Sun Descendant, and then I've also got the Uranus Nadir here. I would think that similar to the Mars Nadir, there's a restlessness there. Like there's an always having to be doing something or always having to be thinking something up. But I will say that in the same way where the Sun Descendant allows me to feel seen and express myself in front of others, the Uranus Nadir has helped me learn how I'm different and how those differences and unique qualities of mine are valuable.
Yeah. I mean, I also feel like it's the Nadir, and Uranian energy is so... it has such an intelligence to it, but it also has an out of nowhere, like spontaneous element to it as well. And there is like, I don't know, I think maybe just dealing with fourth house themes, it doesn't feel like it's a constant thing for you in this location, but sometimes, bam, here's a big fourth house theme that's coming up for you. And totally. And it does just kind of, it's, there's a suddenness that Uranus energy brings, which I can totally see for you. In your location,
because the Nadir is being about, is like about being rooted and feeling really at home, and like you have roots, and Uranus is so different from that. Uranus is like freedom, liberation, and I will say that like I found my person here, and I feel very free in my relationship, but I also have very strong roots now in this location.
Yeah. I was looking up my Uranus line, and the closest one that I found that I've been to like often was Chamonix, which is a town in the French Alps that my in-laws are obsessed with, and now me as well. And at first I was like, what's the deal? Why are they so obsessed with this place? And now I'm just like, so when do we get to go back? So I have Uranus and on like the midheaven. And I was thinking about this because I've now been multiple times, and me and my husband are like the type of people where we try to go to new places when we're traveling. We definitely want to explore something new. But the one place we keep coming back to is this place, is Chamonix. And I'd love to look it up in his astrocartography, because that would just be interesting. But we've come back to it so many times. And every time that I go there, I do have like a whole new, I guess a whole new perspective brought to me on something about how I show up to the world. I really, really have. There's been times where, you know, I have felt, I don't even know, like the Uranian energy is very out of place in a way. Like it doesn't quite fit in. I was in Chamonix when I learned that my grandma passed away, and I had to fly back to the United States very last minute. It was sudden. It was change. It was, you know, something that really did, it changed so much. And it was also this, it's the midheaven in a way of everybody else was back home, and I kind of had this like spotlight energy on like, oh, I'm now this person who is in an international relationship, and I can't just hop in the car. I've got to hop on a plane. There was some sort of,
you know, what's interesting too is the 10th house is related to in-laws, especially mother-in-law. So it's interesting that this Chamonix is like definitely a place where you experience it with your in-laws.
I totally do. Yes, I so often experience it. And I remember in that moment when I found out that my grandma passed away, and how, like, you know, my mother-in-law was like right there with the hug. And that is so not the same type of energy of like a big event normally happening in my life. And I was like, whoa, instant hug and affection. Like, that's just something that this is different.
Cannot compute.
But the other times that I've been there, you know, there was like the last time that I went, me and Kim literally, like, we hiked a fucking mountain. Like, I am not a hiking person. I've become a hiking person since being married to my person. But like, we, like, I climbed a mountain. It wasn't just like, I mean, it was massive, guys. It was hours, and it was massive, and it was like sketchy as fuck sometimes. And I climbed a mountain, and I had this whole like complete just reframe of me, of who I am. And I'm like, I'm the type of person who climbs mountains in the Alps. What? And so I really do feel like that Uranian energy on my midheaven. And like, there's a couple more examples sprinkled in there that I don't have to get into right now. But I do feel like there is some sort of I learn something about how I show up to the world every time I'm in this place. And it is never related. It's never related to each other.
And I also feel like every time you're in Chamonix, like, you break away from the in-laws. They're doing an activity and you're like, no, actually, I'm leading a magical activity online and while you're all doing that. And that's very Uranus midheaven in that, like, no, I'm going to do my own thing. And it's a little bit different, a little bit unusual to your eyes. And it's related to my work.
You're so right. I have been, the last time I went, I was, actually, okay, so it was two times ago with the mountain, and the last time I went, I was like, nope, like, I didn't take off work to come on this trip, so I'm just going to do it all with a beautiful mountain view. Mm-hmm. And it was so work-related. Everything that's come up has definitely, you know, been within that sphere. That is, yeah, it's... Uranian energy is so unpredictable, and I love the difference that we've kind of experienced it with, between like us having those opposite lines of yours being on your nadir and mine being on the midheaven, and the kind of information that comes to us through that Uranus line, and yours being much more home and mine being much more career.
I know, like, very opposite there.
Yeah. And then we have the Neptune line. So we mentioned this before, but the Neptune line is a mystical and spiritual place, free-floating, and themes of uncertainty. So we know that Neptune is very foggy. Neptune is the opposite of clear. And we have mystical and spiritual energies going on. So that's why I need my next vacation to be in northern Sweden, so that I can see the Aurora Borealis and get get moved to a different dimension.
Yeah, I mean, this would be a great place. Sorry, I just skipped over that because that's just like very obvious. Of course. Of course, to move to another dimension.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like this is the perfect place if you're like, I really need a spiritual retreat. I need to like get away from the world and escape. Like, if you're looking for a vacation to escape reality, a Neptune line is a great place to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
And also, I just want to say, like, there are other ways to use astrocartography, like getting, like knowing somebody from this place, like someone who carries the energy of that place and comes into your life. You can kind of integrate that into your life as well. Like, I know somebody who is from what would be my Neptune line, and I would say that he was a big influence in my life in a Neptunian way.
Ooh, I like that a lot. Like, not just of me going there, but that person coming to me.
Yeah, like they're bringing a piece of that location to me. Like, it's more, you know, you want to be specific about it because there's so many different ways to use astrology. I like to be specific about it because it gives it more validity in my reality. But when they're bringing their culture to you, or they're bringing the culture of that location to you, that is, I think, a really cool way to use that.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that a lot. And I'm just, now I'm like, okay, now I need to look up all these other locations of all these people that I met from all over the world and what they brought to me. There's just so many options here. That's really cool.
Yeah. So then next up, we've got the Pluto line. So this is a place to really transform, grow through deep emotional, personal issues. This is a place to really get to know yourself and to uncover the many layers. Like, this is an intense place.
I love that both of my universities have Pluto on the midheaven.
Yeah.
For this astrocartography. How cool is that?
Like, you really took apart how you wanted to contribute to the world.
Oh my God, I got chills when you said that. Yes, I freaking did. Yeah. I mean, so like James Madison University is where I went to get my master's in teaching, and then I went and became a teacher. And that was the way in which I wanted to. I mean, the midheaven, like that 10th house, like how you show up to the world, transforming it. So, you know, how I went to this location to transform my 10th house energy, to transform what I show up as, to transform what I bring in a professional public setting. And then when I went back to school, getting that master's in global development and peace with like mediation, and Pluto being on that midheaven line again, and then what I mentioned before was the moon was also on the ascendant in this location.
Yes.
But I love that both times where I'm like, let me go back to university to literally change my career, Pluto on the midheaven is like, we shall transform your careers here.
Sure. We're on board.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is also my natal place. So I have Pluto on my nadir in my natal chart. So that'll show that San Francisco is a Pluto nadir line for me. And I mean, I'm absolutely like that. When I visit home, when I go back home, I absolutely feel that. I feel like me again. I feel like I can be the most fourth house nadir intense little bitch as I am when I visit home. And I will say, like, any Pluto lines, this is maybe a little obsessive energy. Like, we're really invested. We're emotionally and karmically invested, and it can come across as obsessive when it comes to the angle that it's on. So if you have, like, a Pluto ascendant line, we're really obsessed with the way that we are presenting to the world, and we're trying to deconstruct it to understand it at its core, how we operate. And then on the other side, if it's a Pluto descendant, which actually I think my partner has his in his natal chart, there's, which he's not obsessive in any way, but unless he's cleaning a kitchen, in which case he's extremely obsessive, but that's his Virgo moon. Total tangent. But if you have like a Pluto descendant line, there's an obsession in your partnership. Maybe this is where we exhibit like possessive natures in our relationships, or we really exhibit power over others, or, you know, realize how power struggles have been a theme in our lives in this location.
Yeah, power struggles with like Pluto energy. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And just, I like the idea that you brought with the obsession, because there's when you're intense, you have intense mm-hmm. energy towards something, and then when it gets beyond intense, and we're not stopping.
Me obsessed with my emotional self.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And so those are all of the quote-unquote planets, mm-hmm. but we are also going to cover Chiron and the nodes real quick, mm-hmm. because they are also really important lines when it comes to astrocartography. And this was really cool thinking about the Chiron line. So Chiron is the wounded healer, and it's a place for impactful healing and growth. And, you know, it's where you feel that wound, but it's where you can help others heal that wound and in turn healing yourself. It's like Mimi said at the beginning, it's both a positive line and a hard line, because we are healing, but we're also going through
it. You can't heal without being hurt.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why that was so good, but it was so good. You can't heal without being hurt. That is so interesting to me, because I found that my Chiron line, Chiron and the Ascendant, is in on Long Island, in the town where my aunt's house is, where my BFF cousin, OG host of this podcast, Tara, grew up. And it is so interesting to me that that is my Chiron Ascendant line, because I do feel like in so many ways, you know, certain things like, you know, growing up as an only child and then being with my cousins here and just having that sibling energy, like that felt like a very, you know, like a healing experience of getting to have those experiences growing up in that way. And, you know, I definitely feel like the family element, because I always grew up so far away from my family, and all of my family lived right near each other all around this area. It was such a, you know, that fine line between I'm so happy to see everybody and I'm so sad that I have to leave now, and they all get to keep seeing each other. And
this is really interesting. Also, a little point that we should make is that the planet or the point, like Chiron for you, will always still be in Cancer, because it's the exact same chart, just time zone changed. So that Chiron ascendant line, also, it's a nice little flavor to put in there that it is in Cancer, that it is related to family. And so every placement that we've talked about here, you know, the Saturn on the descendant, it's still my Saturn in Pisces, but it's just changed the angle. It's changed basically the house that it lives in. And so same for you with this Chiron.
I really like that. So yeah, it's almost as if when I'm, you know, in this location, it's like I have a Cancer rising, but I've got Chiron
on
that, which is so perfect that's literally where my family, you know, all of my family lives there. And I have that Chiron rising, or Chiron on my ascendant. But it's just really interesting thinking about how, you know, your ascendant is how you show up and how you approach things. And having Chiron there, I really, really am often put in the position of fixing things when I am home, you know, like in a, oh, hey, there's this thing and Sierra's really good at doing that. So, you know, we need her to do that, or we need to talk through this. Or I sometimes come in with my tornado energy and it causes people to have to talk about hard things or, you know, explain what's been going on because they're catching me up on it. And then it's like, oh, wow. And then I feel like I can bring some of my insights and I'm coming there to heal other people. But then through that, it's like, wow, that is actually really healing myself. So I totally, totally, totally feel that Chiron, yeah, that Chiron ascendant in that place where I spent so much of my childhood and even like early adulthood in that location. And it's very interesting to think about how like my entire family is pretty much moving away from this spot now. And it's almost like things were healed somehow. And and now they're moving away from it. It's really, again, that's one of those things where we can look at it presently, but we can look at it in the past and we can look at it in the future with the astrocartography of a location.
Yeah. So cool.
Yeah.
And then the last point are the nodes. So the nodes on any angle of your chart, this is a place, simply put, to achieve your destiny, essentially. And I've lived in two places that were definitely my nodes activation. So I was born in San Francisco, where my north node is exactly conjunct my nadir. So I get to carry that with me all the time because that's my natal chart. But I also, the next place I lived right after San Francisco was Liverpool, England, and that had my nodes on my ascendant. And I did find that like the transfer of my nadir energy into my ascendant energy, they're still both very internal angles, but one is much more on show and a lot less about keeping it all to myself and instead choosing to present myself to the world. And so it was transferring some of that San Francisco home and internal emotional energy into more of how I present myself to the world. And I did go to Liverpool for performing arts school and to pursue my theater degree. So it was kind of interesting to get that node activation in a different way.
Yeah, your north node, like an ascendant in the place where you're going to school for a very, I don't know, ascendant feeling degree, you know, with that, like, absolutely, you are a Leo rising, this is an acting degree. And and then to have this be a place where the nodes, this is your purpose. And, you know, you choosing to go to this location completely started off a path of, you know, even if it's indirectly so, but where you are right now, you know, it just really set you off in such a, I don't know, that north node forward trajectory way.
And I also thought it was interesting that, you know, I lived in different places in the UK. I lived in Birmingham for a while, and then I also lived in Dublin. And then, you know, like I mentioned London earlier, but Liverpool, Birmingham, and Dublin were all the same line. They're all the nodes ascendant, but London is just far enough east where it changes into a different placement, where it changes into that Mars I see more strongly. So it's kind of cool to have seen that even in the same small area of the world, there are some shifts there and how that presented in my life's experience as well.
Yes. Oh my gosh. When I was looking this up, I just like nearly shit myself. The nodes line for me was in Luxor, Egypt, where, if you know me, I had the most life-changing experience. Like, literally, I mean, my life has not been the same since this moment. I was in many places in Egypt, but I was like, I want to look up this place because this was the place where my life changed. And it was with the North Node conjunct the Ascendant. And I was, I mean, you can't, like, I had the most eye-opening, life-changing. It was a spiritual experience, but I wouldn't just put it on Neptune. Like we had talked, it wasn't that type of Neptune. Like, this is something I experienced and then walk away from. This was like something that I experienced and it pushed me into...
is a part of who you are becoming in this life.
Exactly. It pushed me towards a path that had I not been, like, you know, activated by this location, I would not be on the path that I am on now. It was such an important, like, monumental moment for me. And of course, Yes. On the astrocartography of it all is the north node on the ascendant. It was like, yes, Sierra, this is where you're going to be shown the direction that you're supposed to be going in. And so cool. I just thought that was the coolest thing.
I love that. I love how it presents itself.
So good.
And lastly, some locations have no lines, and that doesn't mean that they don't have any impact, but it just means that it's a little less strong. It's kind of like if my Pluto were 10 degrees off of my nadir, it would still be impactful, but not nearly to the point where it's at a 0 degree conjunction to my nadir.
Yeah, it's the type of... I feel like it's the same type of energy as we say there's no empty houses in your chart because every chart is ruled by something. But at the same time, when you have a planet in a certain house in your chart, we have a very concentrated energy of what of what is being brought to us. So still obviously important and a part of you and can be an experience that's beneficial, but just not with that really concentrated energy.
Yeah, and if you find that you were born in a place where you didn't have any lines, like it's very watered down, it's not concentrated, but you're looking for more drive, more movement, you'll find that if you relocate, if you move somewhere or move closer to a line, but still in a region that you're comfortable with, you'll feel that pull a little bit more.
Oh, I love this idea. I'm like, I really want to just exclusively plan vacations. Based on
I know, but just don't tell Guillaume because he's gonna be like, what the hell, what are we looking at? Instead of just a map, like an atlas map, it's an astrocartography map.
I want to find where both of our Venuses are activated right now. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Don't worry about this, honey. I hope that was helpful for you. I hope that this topic was fascinating for you guys listening, because I've been, Martha as well, like other host Martha and I have been so into astrocartography for a while. We've wanted to do this episode for a while and we finally have been able to. So, I'm so fascinated by this topic.
Yeah, definitely check out that resource of, just astro.com and that, travel tool, because you'll get sucked in. You'll get sucked in, and it's really, really neat to explore. And basically, you get a little write-up description when you click on a spot. Mm-hmm. You kind of get a little overview. You get told, okay, yes, this is, Jupiter on the descendant, and then you get a little blurb of what that energy can show up for you. And it's not too long. It's not like, you're reading an essay on it, but it's also in-depth enough that you really feel like you get a picture of what that energy will show up as. So
I also want to say that for anybody who does use Time Passages on the desktop version, there is an Astro Maps. So you can pull that up as well in Time Passages.
I didn't even know. Oh my God, I'm going to do that as well.
There for that. The interpretation, you need to upgrade to like an even more whatever to a different tier, but you can look at the map and just determine that for yourself.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Well, thanks for being here, everybody. Let us know if you have found some really cool locations on your astrocartography. Let us know if you also have a, maybe Jupiter descendant, or that, what did Mimi and I both have, the North Node ascendant, if you have any of those locations. And we are going to be posting, a little episode art for this over on Instagram at the Stars Made Me podcast. This episode comes out several days early over on Patreon at patreon.com/starsmademedoit, where we'll certainly be discussing this with.
I'm such a proud mama now, like, listen to you plug. I'm just so proud.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I love a good segue. So check us out, and don't forget there's a free trial as well on Patreon. And until next time, Mimi, why did we talk about astrocartography today?
Because the stars made us do it.